first left the city, which had burned down. And Ange, O's friend, remained in this space, which would soon no longer be human. It was here that O dreamed her last dream about herself and her friend. O speaks. "John, fingerfuck O," said Ange. Ange was directing her first play, perhaps in what had been the Bravos Theater. And John was O's closest male Alexandrian friend, boyfriend. The boy slowly inserted one of his middle fingers between O's thick outer labia. "Is this okay?" "Okay," said O. She was wearing a Kotex pad and the black cotton panties that she always had on whenever she had her period. These were the only panties O owned, which didn't disappear into the crack of her ass. John screwed in his fingers as far as he could. He knew how to do this so that a woman felt pleasure. Pleasure as if every type of pleasure was coexisting, yet separate from every other type in the same space. Neither John nor O was upset by her blood. John ordered O to suck his fingers, which, having been up her cunt, were now soaked in blood. O couldn't tell if these fingers were still up there. She didn't mind licking them over and over again. O drew away from John. Now she was conscious, as if her mind was eyes. A veil had been drawn away from her eyes. That she was experiencing sexual delight in a public space, and that this was wrong. One shouldn't open up sexually, in public, to a man one didn't know, when one was bleeding. Nevertheless, she was doing this, and adoring it. In other words, what was clearly happening with her couldn't possibly be happening. Everything was happening as it always does, sexually. John bit down hard on the tips of her nipples and bit down hard again. O felt joy. She knew he was at the edge of fucking her. She didn't want him to fuck her because she was in a classroom and exposed to all the students, and blood was showing everywhere at the outer strips of her thighs. It was the beginning of night when Ange asked her why she hadn't let herself be fucked. She knew that O wanted desperately to fuck. O thought about this question. She decided that she must be a victim, though she had never before thought she was a victim. A victim of her society's definition of women who are her age. These women, according to the society, were no longer sexually desirable to men, except perhaps as prostitutes. More important, they no longer possess sexuality. O realized that the women who were two or three generations younger than her were far more intelligent about these problems than the women her age. Now night had come to the dead city, the night of the year. O found herself in the middle of one of its great streets. She was walking down this middle as if she was a car or a motorcycle. Somewhere in her, O knew that it was dangerous for her to act like a motorcycle. She thought that the middle lane, the one whose middle she was in, was going to disappear. So just as it did, just as it became one of the other lanes, O swerved into the right lane. Safely, she reached the bottom of the great thoroughfare. There, Ange was waiting for her, though O hadn't expected to see her friend ever again in the deserted city. "Stay with me here." There had been a previous arrangement between O and a man whose name she didn't know to meet at this very hour in the Tenderloin district. O remained with Ange. The two women were already walking. O was upset that she was missing her appointment with an older man, but she couldn't be worried about that because she had to do something about the blood. She wasn't wearing anything, so at any moment, blood was going to seep through her clothes into the outside. She remembered there was a pharmacy on the corner, down the street from the department store, where she had planned to meet the man whose name she didn't know. instead of walking toward this department store, Angenot moved in the other direction, across the principal street that crossed the one down which O had been running, into the darkest and most deserted part of the burnt-down city. This was where the artists lived. In the gigantic pharmacy that was situated in this district, O was looking up at a glass countertop that was far above her. She saw a pile of Tampax. The Tampax was Indian because it was wrapped in only the thinnest and cheapest colorless paper. The covering in spots was torn. Since O couldn't buy the Tampax because she thought that it might be diseased, she asked the woman behind the glass counter if the pharmacy had anything else for periods. An emaciated blonde pointed to wood shelves that were so high that their tops and bottoms had disappeared. They stood behind O. On one of the higher shelves lay a jumbo box of Kotex, pads so huge they must have been designed for elephants. "You see, O," the sales girl said, "you could have gotten fucked even though you had your period." Everything about the restaurant to which the older man took O spoke of wealth and the upper classes. The man turned out to be a professor whom O had once met, one of the most respected teachers in the country, and a novelist. Unlike the other ones who had fucked O in the recent past, whom she could remember, this man treated her gently and with respect. It was toward the end of their meal that he pulled her toward him across a red leather couch on which they were still sitting. The hands that were holding her head pushed her head down to where she saw a cup that wasn't human, that was small, very pointed at the end, a ring of flesh around its middle, white rather than red, like a cat's. O put her mouth around it. She didn't think that anyone in the restaurant, especially their waiter, was noticing her disappearance, or the head beneath the white cloth-covered tabletop, down in the realm that lay under. When everything was over, she raised her head and saw that the man had changed. He was smiling angelically. The hair on his head, once scanty and white, was now very thick, black, and afro, like what white liberals once wore. O was feeling sick. She realized that having had the sex, during which she had never lost consciousness, made her queasy. Such sex was normal. Whereas the sex during the sex show had sent her over every edge, over every possible edge, over herself, flying until all that was left was sky and blackness. During this loss of herself, she had become scared. O realized that she wanted this sex, that she needed it, this sexuality that she had known what she had been. O, the Jew, told herself, "I have to go back to my roots."